Those for the demons are very nice things. So there is need in this struggle to serve our spiritual master, to serve Lord Chaitanya, Sri Krishna, in this age of Kali. There is need that we stand very, very firm in our Krishna conscious principles, that we do not deviate. And actually, we should understand, deviation finally means as far as devotees in this line is concerned, coming down from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada, this ISKCON line, the final deviation means to give up book distribution. And one may think by giving up book distribution, and by giving up book distribution I mean, what I mean by that is to give up the understanding that book distribution is the prime necessity, is the prime preaching, is the central activity of our movement. As soon as one starts to think something else may be, you know, one may not give up Krishna consciousness, but if he's thinking there's something else besides book distribution that is more important, that person is off the track, hopelessly off the track. There was one time years ago when two devotees, husband and wife, they had started first temple in Hong Kong. So they were alone, and of course it was a struggle for them to try to do anything in the midst of this city of millions of Chinese people who didn't know anything even remotely transcendental. So they had a difficult time. And they became weak as a result of not having so much close association with other devotees. And in that weakened state, they fell under the influence of a pseudo-devotee. Some Swami who was preaching something that sounded very much like Krishna consciousness, but was not Krishna consciousness as Srila Prabhupada was presenting it. So because they were weak and in need of association, so sentimentally they accepted that person as shelter. And they became polluted. But the pollution, the contamination was not so great. It was more or less something sentimental in the mind. So then Srila Prabhupada, he had to take some steps to let the devotees in ISKCON know that that Swami was not actually teaching proper understanding of Krishna consciousness. So in this this couple in Hong Kong, they heard about that, they were confused. Oh, why does Srila Prabhupada speak so heavy about that person? We always thought he was nice. So Prabhupada came and visited them. And they were asking, the husband was asking this point, that why do the devotees criticize this person? We found him nice. He was very understanding. And then Prabhupada was giving answers, but this devotee was still not understanding. And then suddenly Prabhupada said, and till then this point had not entered the conversation, but Prabhupada suddenly turned and said, I can understand that you do not want to distribute books. You have not the determination to distribute books. So this was how Prabhupada was pointing at the fault very specifically. You may have, in other words, one may have so many sentimental reasons that one may give. But if all these reasons, the actual practical conclusion is that one is thinking book distribution is somehow wrong. One should not do this. It is somehow too heavy. It is somehow not compassionate. Because if we're really compassionate, we should just love one another and have silly smiles on our face and look each other in the eyes and things like this. So this is totally off. This is something for a foolish person who is very much weakened by lust. They may accept these things as being very nice. But you shall see from such associations of persons weakened by lust, who think that it's too heavy to distribute books and we should rather sit around and look at each other in the eye and smile and, you know, trade good vibrations or whatever their plan is for preaching. You shall see among such associations nothing gets done. Nothing is accomplished. Well, maybe much fault-finding is accomplished. Maybe they will be able to criticize those who are very much enthusiastic for distributing books. That may be. And maybe they will think themselves as being very important. They are great personalities. They may think these things. And maybe they think that there's nothing wrong with them gratifying their senses in all kinds of ways, because they're always so Krishna conscious. Those things may get done, but those things have nothing to do with Lord Chaitanya's movement. So, one should not be weak. That is the point. One should understand that if we want to be successful in this Krishna consciousness movement, we cannot compromise with lust in any form. We cannot compromise with the demoniac nature. Of course, we will all say, everyone will say, also the sentimentalists, yes, we do not want to be demons. We are not demons. Because they will say, we are not killing cows. So one may avoid the most gross demoniac activities. One may be able to stay free of meat eating, illicit sex, gambling, intoxication. Maybe that is possible. But on this subtle platform, one can be a demon. That simply means one doesn't serve Krishna properly. And instead, one criticizes those who are serving Krishna properly. So, this should be avoided. That means we have to fight. It is not enough just to convince yourself that you are okay, everything's all right. Because Maya is very, very powerful. Each devotee, each one who has taken up this path of Krishna consciousness, is responsible to, shall we say, clean your own closet. Everyone, you know, just like in the Bhakta ashram, everyone gets a closet, the locker. So you keep your things in there, your clothes, all your private articles are there. So you're responsible to keep that closet clean. If it gets too dirty, too smelly, too stinky, then the ants may come in, cockroaches. Or it may even start a fire. Sometimes the gases get so concentrated that a fire will start. So you're responsible to clean your own closet. Yeah. So we are also responsible to keep our consciousness clean, the closet of our heart. In the closet of our heart, that is the seat of our consciousness. So just like the closet in the Bhakta or Bhakti ashram, we do not have an inspector who goes around and looks inside. We have too many other things to do to appoint someone the closet inspector. Of course, Krishna knows. But that is your duty. Keep your closet clean. That is just your duty. So sometimes there is this very foolish mentality. I don't even like to mention it, because it is so foolish, but because I'm always seeing this again and again, I have to mention it. It's a very foolish mentality. Foolish mentality thinking that already, and it's always expressed like this, the authorities, whoever they may be, spiritual masters, representatives, but already the authorities know everything. So therefore, there's nothing for us to do. We just go on blindly, and we may see so many problems, and we may ourselves have so many problems, but there's nothing to do about them, because by some mystical manipulation, everything is going on as it should from outside somehow, by the authorities. I am just a marionette. I'm not saying everybody has this. I'm not saying most of you have this idea, but I'm just saying, I've seen this enough times, and again quite recently, that I find it very disturbing. That someone can actually assume, he looks and he sees very terrible situation developing with himself, with other devotees. He can see it happening. But he thinks anyway, the authorities must already know. So in this way, then Maya comes down and smashes everything. Devotees blue, falling down, getting in so much trouble. And if someone had simply taken the trouble, taken that responsibility, keep the closet clean. One can do it oneself, or one can go get help. If one cannot clean the closet oneself, one can go get help. One can go to those supposedly all-pervading authorities and say something. I need help. My closet needs to be cleaned. But that is your responsibility. Whether you need help or whether you can do it yourself, but it is your responsibility. Don't think that someone else is going to come while you're sleeping and clean your closet for you or purify your heart for you. If you are sleeping, you're in ignorance, you're lazy, you're not determined, you're not endeavoring, don't think by some magic your heart will be purified. You have to take endeavor. That is a process of devotional service. Devotee means... Devotee means one who is devoting oneself to the service of Krishna. So there must be our own conscious endeavor there. So that attitude must be there to fight this lusty, demoniac tendency which is pulling everyone down in this material world, in this Kali Yuga. One must stand and fight it. And in that fighting, one of course has to be taking complete shelter of the spiritual master of Krishna. One has to make sure one is following exactly the path of Krishna consciousness. On this exact true path of Krishna consciousness. And that, what I mean by that is the path that you're receiving from your spiritual master as he is giving it. The message of the scriptures as they are presented by Srila Prabhupada in these books. Krishna consciousness as it is. So if we are following like that, as it is, then there is so much strength coming. What if we are deviating? If we are allowing ourselves to become weakened by lust in different ways, and falling under the influence of the demoniac philosophy, moga jnana, this is explained in Bhagavad Gita, moga jnana, this inauspicious philosophy, demoniac philosophy. Then we become bewildered, we fall down. So are there any questions?
Unless one doesn't know that one is committing, making any mistakes, others they don't, they think they are not in the position to correct one. I don't understand what is the question.
The first part, unless one, if one doesn't notice, one is...
Yes, one is
committing mistakes.
Mistakes, and other ones are thinking they are not in the position to correct
one. Uh-huh, yes, I understand. So one may be in ignorance, and the others may be, how to say, well, they're thinking their position is to be humble. They're thinking they should have good intentions towards their God brother. They may see some faults in that devotee, But of course, we don't like to point out faults in others. That is a fact. But we must also understand, to help another person does not mean to be a fault finder. So even one is in an inferior position, one may be a new devotee. And one may see some problems, serious problems in an older devotee. So one may not like to point out faults. But still, if you remain silent, then you contribute to that devotee's falling down. You become a party to his falling down. You help him fall down. So one should think like that. It's like the greater, deciding what is the greater or lesser of two evils. There's two evils. One is to, we don't like to point out faults. We don't like to criticize. We want to be humble. Yeah. But on the other side, would we like to help someone fall into Maya? You can think of it in a, just think of it, there's, you can help someone fall into Maya actively or passively. Actively, you know, you're sitting there in the ashram, and the devotee next to you on the sleeping bag says, you know, I haven't drunk any beer for 3 years. And you say, oh yeah, I've also forgotten what it's like. And then that person says, I would like to have some beer now. And then you say, I'll go with you. So who would like to do that? I think nobody would like to do that. Going together with the other devotee into the bar, drinking a few glasses of beer, getting drunk, coming back. And then they ask, why did you do this nonsense? Well, it was our association together. So then everyone is thinking, these two are in so much Maya. Take them apart. So nobody would like to become involved in something like that. Helping somebody else fall down. So that's the active way. But there's a passive way. If you know someone's in Maya, and you know he wants to get up and go out and drink the beer, and you pretend, you just don't say anything, you just look the other way, the person leaves, you don't tell anyone else, he comes back walking sideways like this, you know, and falls on the sleeping bag, and you just are quiet, don't say anything. So you've done the same thing in the name of humility. So we should want to help other devotees advance in Krishna consciousness. A devotee means he becomes happy when he sees others advancing in Krishna consciousness. And he's unhappy when he sees others degrading. And that is why we're out preaching to the conditioned souls. To help them advance somehow or other. So how can we help them advance and help the devotee sitting right next to us fall down? By not saying anything when we see that he's in Maya. No, we should do that. And we should also hope that the devotee sitting next to us, when we are falling into Maya, he will say something. We should hope and pray for that. Because that is what real devotee association is for. But if we are covering ourselves up with false ego, making this mythology that everything is all right with me and everyone else, don't point your finger at me, don't say anything about me, and I won't say anything about you. This pact. I will be quiet, you know, the three monkeys, you know this? See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. That is not very good. No, one should fight Maya. Fight Maya. Don't let Maya in. Oppose it somehow or other. One can oppose it. It doesn't mean you have to be a fanatic. It doesn't mean you have to start to chastise others, yell and scream at them. It doesn't mean that at all. But fighting Maya means that you don't let the Maya in by preaching. You can fight Maya by speaking kind words. You can fight Maya by setting a very good example yourself. And you don't even have to say anything. So many ways, but you must be in this mood of fighting Maya. You just cannot sit back and let Maya take people away. And then congratulate yourself that I was very humble. I was so humble that when he was falling down, I didn't say anything. And when he fell down, I didn't say anything. Any other questions?
I've noticed sometimes for people that if they don't chant properly, then they assume they get very difficulties. And at the beginning, many times I told people, oh, you're missing half of the mantras. They never changed it. Is there any
use? Well, you can tell somebody else. Maybe they don't want to listen to you because they don't think you're so important. Mm. So tell someone they think is important. That's why those so-called important people are there. Otherwise, those important people have no importance. The only reason there's any important positions in Krishna consciousness is so that there is a better possibility to help one another. Like the spiritual master, he has no desire to be in an important position just for that sake. But because he's very compassionate, very merciful, he assumes an important position so that many can worship him, he can instruct many at once, and he can help so many advance in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, for that reason, serving Krishna, he will accept position of worship as spiritual master. And then there are lesser, under him there are other important devotees going on down to the temple commander or Sankirtan leader. They are more important. But why are they more important? Because they should be more able to help you. So if, you know, Bhakta Joe and Bhakta John are sitting together chanting japa, and Bhakta Joe hears Bhakta John is not chanting good japa, and Bhakta Joe says, you're not chanting good japa, and Bhakta John says, you're puffed up, and goes on chanting half a mantra, then Bhakti Joe should tell the Sankirtan leader or the temple commander, And then that Sankirtan leader or temple, whoever that important person is, should use the intelligence how to convince Bhakta Jan he should chant his rounds properly. Sometimes it requires intelligence. There are those who are conditioned by false ego in such a way that if you just walk up and tell them, chant your rounds better, then they will chant their rounds worse just because you told them. Because they want to show you that they are independent from your desire. Even if it means they're going to go to hell to show it. So then you sometimes have to do something else. Something very clever. You can put a tape recorder and tape this devotee chanting his rounds when he doesn't notice it, and then play it back later so that he can hear it. Say, listen to that. Would you like someone to chant your name that way? What do you think Krishna feels like? You know, make some clever remark like that. It requires some intelligence, but that if one is aspiring to become an important devotee, then one has to see like that. It means you have to be more intelligent to help others. Then you can be important. All you like. She was asking that sometimes the problems are not so. Maybe she.
Well, she thinks that they are such a disturbance for others that she
should ask them.
Yeah.
Yeah, well. That may be true. If one is able to, if one understands oneself already, I have a problem, and one has already heard, say, in a lecture, the answer, how to solve the problem, or one has read in the book, how to solve the problem, and one knows it's just a question of my own determination. If one already knows what to do, yes, then maybe one should just do it and not bother others. Because you can also get yourself in trouble by advertising your own problems too much. If other devotees can see, well, this person has a problem, but that person already knows how to solve the problem. But instead of solving the problem, the person is just always talking, I have this problem, I'm so fallen, this and that, this and that, this and blah, 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 and never does anything. Just goes on lamenting day after day. Then those devotees think, this is not very good association for us. They become depressed in that devotee's association. Because finally the thing to do is to just, okay, if you know, then just do it. But if you have, if there's some difficulty which is a problem for you to even understand what it is, if it is a problem for you to understand how to take steps to solve it, if you're very much bewildered, yes, then you should go to other devotee and say something. You must do that. Where you will get help from otherwise? If you're totally bewildered, where you'll get help from? But then again, if that devotee is explaining, okay, do this, do this, do this, then you have your answer. So now the next thing is, will you do it? And if you don't do it, or if you do it for some time, then you give up, then you go back to the old nonsense. Then after some time, you know, everyone loses interest, more or less. This is the way it goes. It's just the way it goes. The other devotees start to think, anyway, this person is a little crazy. A little too much attached to this nonsense. What can we do? Let us just continue to engage in devotional service. That sometimes is the only answer. We may have so many problems in the mind that are haunting us day and night like so many ghosts. And one by one we cannot solve them. There's just too many of them. So Srimad Bhagavatam says, and then in the core of your heart, you just remain a devotee, you just remain fixed in Krishna consciousness. And you will become purified. That is an absolute guarantee. By the process of bhakti yoga, you will become purified and liberated from all of these difficulties. So sometimes that's the only answer one can give. But then, if that's the only answer, then we should not give that up. If it is our fate to serve in devotional service and be plagued by so many problems in the mind, alright, then that is our cruel fate. That is our misfortune. But then don't give up the devotional service. At least you must stick to that. Maybe there's no hope for all these other problems. But at least stick to the devotional service then. And Srimad Bhagavatam gives that guarantee. That in the end you will become purified.
Yeah. And sometimes one hears the argument, but I'm committing so many offenses when I'm in the association with devotees, so then I'm going out of the association.
That means one wants to go out into Maya. So what can we do? Person will give that kind of excuse. You know, to make it... He's actually preaching to himself. He's not... It's a crazy thing to say. Doesn't make any sense for others. But for himself, it makes good sense. Because he needs to say something that makes him feel better as he bloops. So he says, anyway, I'm committing so many offenses. Better I leave. Then I won't commit those offenses anymore. I'll just be 100% in Maya. Then everything I do is a big offense. Just one big offense to Krishna. See, but he's not so much worried about Krishna anymore. Krishna's already out of the picture for him. The only problem is that now he's living with devotees who are serving Krishna, and that makes him feel bad. So he's got to get out of their association too. So he says, rather than offend these devotees, I'll just leave. But in any, if you leave and go into the material world, then especially if you're an initiated devotee, this is a big offense to Krishna and spiritual master. Your whole life becomes one big offense. So don't think that you're somehow becoming less offensive by blooping. Especially in the material world, then you start to engage in more and more sinful activities. So the offenses are actually increasing. But this is just some philosophy someone gives when he wants to leave. So one can counter this, of course, with arguments. But if a person really wants to leave, what can you do? They will leave. They may want to be Krishna. Someone can come to Krishna consciousness being very much attracted by the idea, you know, the qualities of Krishna are there. Philosophy of Krishna consciousness is there, described. But he may want to take on those qualities for himself. Place himself at the center of Krishna conscious philosophy. That there are so many examples of. In India, there's so many. You can give so many examples. So many bogus gurus, yogis, swamis. They have taken Bhagavad Gita and they have placed themselves at the center. And Krishna says, surrender unto me, they take it to me. And yes, me. Yogi so-and-so. Surrender unto me. I am Krishna. Or I am one with Krishna. Whatever they may think. So that is nothing unusual. So for some time they may take up something that looks like devotional service in order to learn this philosophy. Then in the end, they very impudently, very arrogantly want to take the first position themselves. And this sometimes happens also in the Krishna consciousness movement. Of course, in the Krishna consciousness movement, one cannot get away with saying, I am Krishna. No one's going to accept that, to say, I am Krishna. But one can say, I am Krishna's representative, I am a guru, I am